You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
Hi, I'm not a Mac or a PC. I'm a Sean. Sometimes when we think about God, we wonder, does God know my situation? Or we think, you know, I've done so many bad things, there's no way God could overcome my sin. Or perhaps we're in a situation we wonder, just God can't overcome that, He can't beat that. Or perhaps we just think, is He really going to be true to all the things that He said? And when we take the time to look at Scripture, we realize that God has said some amazing things. He said things like, I know, and I will, or I can, or even I want. Because when you look at Scripture, you come to understand that God is everything. He's the great I am. So when you come to these hard times, as we begin looking at Scripture and looking at who God is, that is the way that we come to realize that my God is I God.
So we're on the third week here looking at I God, these different things that God says about Himself. The first week we looked at I am, and God calling Himself I am, and that's it. There's no more to it because He is everything. And then last week we looked at God and the fact that He said, I won. I have overcome the grave. I have defeated sin. I have victory. And this week we want to look at another phrase, but I want to talk to you a little bit about vision, about seeing things. Obviously, you could go outside for the most part, and is Justin not in the room now? So cool, I don't have the optometrist telling me if I'm doing a thing right or wrong. But you could go outside and look, and you probably can see things, most likely. Perhaps you need some corrective lenses. If your eyesight is not good, you might be wearing glasses or contacts to see things. Obviously, there's people that are blind that are unable to see things. But for the most part, we can go out and look. But you only have a certain frame, a certain distance that you could see. And I'm sure there's a fancy name for that. But I'll call it the distance that you can see. And when you look out the distance that you can see, you can't see beyond that. You're not able to do that. Your eyes are not able to do that. But you could get a tool such as binoculars or a telescope. And you could suddenly then, by using the special magnification of lenses, you can see things that you might not otherwise see. Like I'm looking at a spot of drywall on that back wall. And tell Jeb it looks good. So, since he did all the drywall. But you can use something like a telescope. You can use some sort of tool to see farther. And then today, in our modern world of technology, you know, you could go out on a dark night and not see a thing. Because it's dark, you know, no stars in the sky, no moon. But we have technology today that can use even the littlest bit of light, and suddenly, by amplifying that little bit of light, using some of the light on the infrared spectrum, the end of the spectrum there, can amplify that light so suddenly people can see in the dark. You can see at night. Normally, you wouldn't be able to see that, but at nighttime, you can see with these special things. Now, if there is absolutely no light, there's another technology called thermal imaging, which basically uses the heat that anything gives off to create an image so that you can see that object. And so, obviously, for a human, it would be a human-shaped glow, and usually the hotter colors are whiter, and then it kind of works its way out to red, yellow, or yellow and then red, and then, you know, some of the darker colors. But you could use that to see in a way that otherwise you couldn't. And you maybe have seen this Air Force commercial, which I thought was a pretty cool, real quick, but cool way of introducing the concept of thermal imaging and infrared. So just watch this real quick.
We're going to get you home.
So that was real quick. But the idea of being able to see something based on just the heat registry of their body, the heat that we give off. And we have technology to do some pretty cool things. We can see places that before we couldn't. And the cool thing about thermal imaging technology is that if somebody was in a house hiding in a box that you could not normally see through unless you're like Superman, you could suddenly, by using thermal imaging technology, see that person's shape because of the heat they give off. And it's an interesting parallel because this week I want to talk about the God that says, I know. We have a God, we serve a God that knows everything. And just like today, I mean, this wartime technology, thermal imaging, I mean, all this stuff, the infrared, the idea is to see things that normally your human eye couldn't see. But even this stuff has its limits. There's things that it just can't see. But we serve a God that is not limited by any kind of technology. He knows everything. And that's what I want you to understand today. The point is that God knows everything. God knows everything. There is not nothing that God doesn't... There is not... not. God knows everything. He knows everything. Everything. What about... Yeah, that too. Well, what... He knows that. God knows everything. And we're going to talk about this a little bit, but this idea that God knows everything, and I want you to understand, too, that because God knows everything, He understands our situation. That we can be in a circumstance that we think, man, there's no way out. Nobody knows what's going on here. But God does. And so while we have technology and devices to see things further, to see greater, to see deeper, to see into space, all this stuff, we have a God that in one instant sees and knows all of that. And so I want to look at this passage in Psalms, Psalm 139. If you have your Bible or YouVersion, Psalm 139 I want to look at this morning. And it's a really cool passage, and I love it. I really just have really enjoyed studying it this week, looking at what David actually is writing this, what David is saying about God, and this idea that God knows everything. God knows it all. And I don't know, you know, what your background is or your understanding or your experience with church, but this might be new, this might be old school to you, but understand that God knows everything. There's nothing that God doesn't know. So let me just read here in Psalm 139. I'm going to begin at verse 1. David writes, O Lord, I'm going to stop right there. O Lord, if you look in your Bible, that's probably capital L-O-R-D. And if you remember 2 weeks ago, that anytime where your Bible has L-O-R-D in all caps, it's actually the shorthand that the Jewish writers used because they didn't want to write out the name Yahweh, which we discovered means I am. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. So there it is right there. O Lord, that's O Yahweh. Okay, now go on. You have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in, behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. So David's writing here, and if you don't know anything about David, he was the king, one of the kings of Israel, and he wrote a lot of psalms. The book we call Psalms is basically just poems. Often they were sung, and so this is a poem that he wrote to God, and just the fact that God knows everything. And he's saying that, and we'll get into this in just a second, but I want you to understand. I think we know this concept that God knows everything. Like, yeah, okay, I can write that on a test if I had to give an answer for that. But I don't think we know in here and realize that God knows everything. There's nowhere we can hide. There's nothing that God doesn't get. There's no situation that we can be in, that we can be caught up in, no tragedy too great, no sorrow too phenomenal, that God doesn't know what's going on. And so I want to look at that a little bit. There's two things that this passage shows us fairly clearly. And the first thing is that God knows. Okay? God knows. The first six verses tell us that God knows. And the Hebrew word here, and I've shared this before because we've seen this word a number of times, but this word know, K-N-O-W, the Hebrew word is yada. And that sounded more Spanish than Hebrew. Maybe it's like hada. Or haya. But anyway, no. Yada. And the word means to know intimately. And this is the thing. David is saying, God, you know me. You know me intimately. And the interesting thing about this word, it is also used other places in Scripture, but for the relationship between a husband and wife. For example, if you have, especially if the King James, I believe, says it this way, it says, Adam knew his wife Eve, and she gave birth to a son. That word know is this intimate connection. And so, you know, it's sort of not anthropomorphism, a metaphor, there's a word for that. Anyway, it's talking about sex. he says, you know, Adam knew his wife Eve. Like that is that intimate connection. And again, not that I'm implying, not that Scripture or David is implying that God, in some weird way, you know, there's nothing sexual here, but the idea is that it's an intimate understanding. And so God knows. He says, God, you have searched me, Yahweh. You know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. And there's a passage in 1 John that your kids are going to leave, I think, today having memorized. And it's pretty straightforward, in case you weren't sure as we get into this. But he says, God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. God knows everything. Okay? So God knows. So let's go back to this idea of God knows. God knows a couple things. First of all, he knows us intimately. He knows our actions. God knows the things that we do. God knows them. He knows what we do. He knows what we do when we are in a crowd like this, like right now, you know what I'm doing. I'm raising my right hand and waving it at you. I was really good in marching band. Left, right, yeah, I struggle with that one. You know that. You can see that. But if you were in a different room, you wouldn't know what I'm doing right now. And if you're listening right now, because you've got the MP3 and you download it and listen to it over and over and over in your car with all your friends, you wouldn't know what I'm doing because you can't see me. But God knows. He knows our actions. He knows what's going on. Even when we think we are alone, even when we think we are not able to be seen, God knows what's going on. And it's a really cool thing. He says here, God, you search me, you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. So God, you know when I'm sitting. You know when I'm home. You know when I'm alone. You know when I'm kind of relaxing. You also know when I get up and when I'm out and about and what I'm doing. You know me when I'm in my car. You know when I'm at McDonald's. You know when I'm at the grocery store. You know when I'm in the bathroom. You know when I'm fixing that leak in the basement. God knows. He knows all of those things. He knows everything that we do. He knows all of our actions all the time. Just like if you were to stand outside of this room, this garage, and you have one of those thermal imaging cameras, you could see what I'm doing because you can see through the walls with that kind of stuff. And that's how God is. He knows our actions. He knows what we're doing. And the next thing he says in verse 3, you discern my going out and my lying down. And this word discern, like, I don't know, we use that, I guess, sometimes. I heard it more in church than I think anywhere else. But the idea, the discern, it means to measure off. It says God, he basically, like, he knows you so well, he knows what you do so well, that it's almost like he's measuring off everything that you do. That's what this says. You discern my going out and my lying down. You measure off every step. In an infinite, amazing act of that only God could do, he knows, like, okay, that was 6 inches stepping there, that was a 12-inch step. Okay, now you went over here 3 feet to the left, and you're exactly 62 degrees north by northwest latitude and longitude, whatever that means. But that's how detailed God's knowledge of what you do is. God's knowledge of your actions. It's not like, yeah, I don't know, I think Kirk went home today. No, it's like he knows exactly what Kirk did today. He knows exactly where Kirk's feet have been, exactly how many breaths he took. Exactly. He knows all that. He measures it out. It's not a guess for God. It's a detailed, specific thing. And he doesn't just know that about Kirk. He knows that about all of us. That God knows what we do. He knows our actions. He knows us completely. A couple of months ago, the last time I bought a suit was in 1997. The weird thing is that I still mostly fit those suits today. I don't know. I was in college, and you know, well, 1997 suits aren't really all that cool in 2012, okay? And so, like, I have all these people asking me to do their weddings. As soon as I show up in one of those suits, they'd be like, "Never mind, we'll get somebody else. Thanks." So I had to get a suit, and I know you look at me and you think, "Well, that guy is very normal." But I'm not. I'm very weird sized. I have a very strange, and I won't get into my dimensions because it's either going to embarrass me or embarrass you. So I'm not sure who. But I don't fit stuff off the rack. Okay, I've come to discover that, especially when, even a few weeks ago when we were getting some things, like, oh, this size looks good, and I put it on. The arms are all long, and it's just weird. So I had to get a tailored suit, and it was quite a process. I went to the men's warehouse, and they said I'm going to like the way I feel, and they guaranteed it. And I felt pretty good. But I walked in there, and I thought, you know, oh, we'll just find one off the rack. And, of course, discovered right away that's not the way these guys operate. Like, you can't, and I don't know if you've ever been in a men's warehouse. Women, you probably haven't. Maybe you have, I don't know. But when you walk in there, it's just like a bunch of clothes. There's no display signs. There's no, here's the sizes. You know, there's no, these are this kind of suit. And as soon as I walked in the door, this man greeted me and said, "Can I take your coat, sir?" And I was like, wearing a jacket. And he was like, not a suit jacket, but just like a regular coat. And he took it and hung it up. And so then he kind of walked me around and chauffeured me through the store and asked me what I was looking for. And eventually said, okay, this is probably what you want. And maybe it's not what I wanted, but I didn't know what I'm looking at. So he just kind of stuck me with whatever I said. And so I got the suit and I put it on. And the jacket fit pretty well. And then he said, okay, here, you know, why don't you go try these in the dressing room and come back out. And I came back out of the dressing room, and of course they put me in front of those like quadrangle mirror things where you can see all around. I was up on a platform, and this old Italian guy came out of nowhere, like he was the tailor, and I know that's I don't know in my mind like that's what I expected to come out of the back was some old Italian guy who was going to be my tailor, and he came out, and when I put the pants on they didn't fit at all. And so, and I'm glad, like, Kendra was there with me, and it'd be kind of weird if there were other people there, because I'm, like, literally up on display as this man is, like, measuring everything, and, oh, it doesn't look good there, oh, your rear doesn't look quite as nice as it should, you know, and he's measuring, and he's taking all these measurements, and measuring every little detail out about these pants, and like I said, it'd be kind of awkward. And so then we went home, and you know, they said, come back and pick it up in a couple weeks, and so I picked it up and put it on, and I'll tell you what. I mean, it wasn't an expensive suit. I don't have that kind of money. I'm a pastor. But it was nice. It was nice to have a tailored suit because it fit me. And that's the first time. I mean, easily the ones I had years ago didn't fit me. That's probably the first time I've had a suit that actually fits my size and shape. And it was because of the detail with each of the little measurements that made it such a good fit. And that is the kind of detail that God has when it comes to you. He knows every little detail about you. I mean, there's plenty of scriptures we could look at about how he knows all about just the number of hairs on your head. And obviously all the jokes could come out right now that God doesn't waste time with me. He's got to worry about other people that have lots more hair on their head. But that's how intimate, that's how detailed God's knowledge is of what you do. Every little thing. He knows exactly what you do. He knows all the things that are going on in your life. The second thing that God knows is he knows our attitudes. And this is where it gets a little bit more awkward. I mean, we know that, okay, if we're in private, if we're by ourselves, we probably do and say things that we wouldn't do if we were in public. There are probably things that you say in the privacy of your house to either your kids or your spouse, that if we said, why don't you come up on front of this stage right now and do that for everybody, you would probably be completely freaked out, would never do that. But you know, you'll still do that in the privacy of your house. But even still, there's probably some lines that you won't cross just because there's people there, because it's a public thing. There's a lot of lines that we do cross because we think, well, they're just up here. It doesn't really matter. Nobody knows what I'm thinking. But David says God does. Scripture says that God knows not just our actions, but he knows our attitudes. He knows the attitudes behind what we're doing. He says there that, where are we doing it? You know, when I sit, when I rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar. And this idea, perceive, again, I don't throw a lot of Hebrew stuff at you, but it means to, it's not just like, oh, he knows what you're thinking. He knows what's going on in your thinking. He knows why you said that. He knows that you might have said, it's so nice to see you. You're one of my favorite people. He knows what's going on back here that says, you know what? If I didn't have to shake your hand right now, I would hope you died. He knows those thoughts, those deep, awful things that we think, and we think nobody knows. He says, you perceive my thoughts from afar. It's this, again, this intimate knowledge that he understands what your thoughts are. He's discerning them. He gets what's going on in your brain. And then a little bit later, he says, before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. Before you even say it, God knows what's going on in that process before that word even comes out. God knows our attitude. He doesn't just understand. Like, there's things that we think, and then let me get really, like, metaphysical here. There's things that we think, and then there's things that drive what we think. And then there's things we actually do. And so he knows, like, those underlying motivations. He knows and maybe I'm the only one this way, but there's a lot in my head that is bad, that is wrong. There's a lot of spite, a lot of venom, and somewhere between here and here, you know, at least James talks about, you know, controlling your tongue, taming your tongue. Like, some part of that for me works sometimes. But there's a lot of bad stuff, and it's, you know, it's nice for me to sound all good and flowy in public, and my kids say, oh, you know, apparently we'll find out next week what my kids think about me, and all tuned up, or I guess in 2 weeks. But, you know, for the most part, I think, they're like, my dad's pretty nice guy, but if he knew some of the thoughts that went through my mind when they interrupt me again when I'm trying to watch that show. You're supposed to be in bed! And I don't know, just awful stuff in there. I love my kids and my family, and there's just, but there's so much more there, and I want you to understand that God understands that. God knows that. That's how intimate his knowledge is of us. You know, and it's kind of cool when I look out at a crowd like this. You know, you're all kind of smiling, nodding, just kind of looking. And who knows what you're thinking? I don't know what you're thinking, you know, but God does. God knows that you're thinking about those playoffs and Flyers probably going to win another one over the Penguins because the Penguins are nowhere near as good as the Flyers. Maybe that's what you're thinking about. If you weren't, you are now, you know. Maybe you're thinking about lunch. What's going to be for lunch? What are we having? Oh, yeah, maybe you're thinking about this afternoon. Is it really going to get as warm as they say it's supposed to? And those are just trivial things, but that's it. Like, we can look at each other and think we know what's going on, but God really knows what's going on in our minds. And he says that, you know, that you know everything. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely. You perceive my thoughts from afar. God knows all of those things. He knows our actions. He knows our attitudes. And what he says here, he goes on a little bit later in verse 6. He says, man, God, this knowledge, such omniscience, that's the big fancy theological word, such omniscience, man, that's just too amazing. How amazing is it that we are serving a God that knows everything, not just what we do, but everything we think, and even the motivations behind the things that we think. God knows all of that. And David, he could be completely freaked out, and maybe he is somewhat. But he says, man, this is amazing. I serve a God that knows what I'm going through. I'm serving a God that knows the depth of my hurt, that understands the struggles that I have. That is the God that we serve. So not only does God know, but God goes. God knows and God goes. He goes on and says that basically there is nowhere that you can go, no place that you can be where God isn't there. And I'm not going to get into all that. I mean, God is spirit, so somehow he is present in every place at the same time. I know it doesn't mean he like lives in that chair or anything like that. But God is somehow present with us all the time. And this is what David says. He's like, okay, God, you go with me everywhere. God is always present. If I go to the heavens, and the word heavens, skies, if I were to take, and David didn't have a clue. David didn't even have a clue what he was really getting at here. But today we could say, if I were to take a rocket ship, hopefully not done by North Korea, but if I were to take a rocket ship and shoot out into space, man, God, you're there. Okay, so what if I make my bed in the depths? The word here is Sheol. It's the grave. What if I bury myself in the depths of the ground? Well, you're there too. He's okay, what if I rise on the wings of the dawn? What if I go out, you know, the sunrise? You ever watch the sunrise on the East Coast? You can see, especially on the ocean, way out there the sun is rising. That's far away. He says, if I go that far out, well, you're there. Okay, well, what if I settle on the far side of the sea? What if I go where the sun sets? The other direction, completely opposite way. You're there. And then he says, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. He says, okay, I know what we're going to do. Surely the darkness can hide me. Because, come on, I can't see if it's really dark. You can't see if it's really dark. So that's got to be the way it works. So surely the darkness is going to hide me. Why don't I just kind of, if I go somewhere where the light, it is so dark that lightness, is that a word? It doesn't matter. I make them up anyway. That lightness becomes dark. He says, even the darkness is not dark to God. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. There's nowhere we can go where we can get away from God. There's nowhere we can go where God has left us alone. There's nowhere we can go where we're on our own. When I was in, must have been high school, I went on a, and maybe I shared this with you before, I went on a trip to, I don't even know what it was called. It was a cave in Tennessee. We actually spent the night, we went caving and spelunking, and I know I shared some of this with you before. We spent the night in this cave, and at one point, the guy in charge of our group told us to turn off all of our flashlights. And I'll tell you what, there is nothing like the darkness of a cave. When there is no light coming in, there's nothing. Like, there isn't a glimmer. You can put your hand here and not see it. The only reason you know it's there is because of your breath bouncing off of it. That is freaky. That is freaky. And David is saying, hey, look, you know what? If I hide myself in a dark, dark, dark place, man, God can't see me there. And then he realizes, you know what? To God, that's just like light. It's like there were floodlights in there, the sun shining down in. It's the same being in that cave as if you were outside on a sunny day in the middle of a field. That's the way God can see us. So there is. That's the way God is present with us. There's nowhere we can go where God isn't. Everywhere we go, God is there. And this is all good stuff to know. Okay, that's great. God knows everything that I do. God knows all of my thoughts. And God is always with me. But I want to offer this because God knows everything, he understands our situation. And this is important. This is important because maybe right now things are going great. You hear about weather that's supposed to be in the 80s. Man, it's a day off for many of you. This is a good day. But there's going to be times, and maybe that's where you are now too, where things aren't so good. Where you feel alone, where you feel like this situation is insurmountable. There's nobody that understands. I want you to understand. I want you to know that God knows everything. So he understands our situation. So God's knowledge brings us, there's three things that God's knowledge brings. The first thing is that God's knowledge brings us a comfort. And that comfort is that, well, what is that comfort? Comfort is that you have to find the right page. That there's nothing you can go through that God doesn't know. There's no situation. I don't care what it is. And I know, I mean, I don't know. If you've ever had gone through something hard personally, or if you've maybe been around somebody that's going through a difficult time, a lot of times you hear this phrase, well, you don't know what I'm going through. And a lot of times that's true. I mean, you could even compare, like, oh, I had the exact same situation that you had. But even then, the details are different. The circumstances are different. Whether it's tragedy, you know, a loss of a family member, or whether it's some sort of difficult situation at work. You know, you might be challenged at some situation at work, and there's probably somebody say, hey, I went through that same problem at work. But, you know, your job was probably slightly different, and maybe it wasn't the same thing. And so there is a reality that you don't know what someone else is going through, and someone else doesn't know what you're going through. But I want you to understand that God does. That God does. God knows what you're going through. God understands the depth of your situation, the hurt. Because he doesn't just see your actions. He knows your thoughts. He knows your heart. That God understands. He's there to comfort. And so, you know, if you don't walk away with anything else today, it's just realize that no matter what you're going through, you are not, you're not alone. There isn't anyone that doesn't know what you're going through. Maybe no one else on this planet understands, but God does. The word in verse 3, it says, you are familiar with all my ways. That word familiar means to be in the habit, to understand, to get along well with, and to really get it. And that's what David's saying. He says, God, you know, you're familiar with all of it. You understand it. You get it. You know what I'm going through. So there's comfort in that. You're not alone. Now, the second thing is that there's a caution when it comes to God's knowledge. And that caution is that you can't hide from God. You can't, like, there, a lot of times we think, well, nobody will ever find out. Sorry, it's too late. I hate to say this, but before you even do the thing that you think nobody will find out about, God already knew that you were thinking about doing it. Because God knows. God knows everything. And so I just throw that out there to think that to kind of challenge all of us that if you think you're hiding from God, you're wrong. And I know some of the story about the capture and of Osama bin Laden and the whole process of that they used thermal imaging cameras to find where he was in this building. And so, you know, he's thinking, oh, I'm hidden. Nobody can see me because I'm behind a wall. Well, he was wrong. They could see with the technology. And a lot of times we think, well, nobody's going to find out about this. Nobody's going to know. But God does. You can't hide from him. And so for some of us, it's time to come to the realization. Like, I don't know, and maybe, again, maybe you're not like me, but somehow there's this line. There's a line here, and if I act on something, you know, it's bad. But if I just think it, it's okay. That, you know, if I don't like somebody and so I kick them in the teeth, that's bad. But it's okay if I just think about kicking them in the teeth and hope they fall on my foot in the teeth. But Jesus says, he actually says, you know, if maybe you haven't murdered, but if you think about an evil thought about someone, it's the same as murder. He says, you know, and I've shared this with you before, you know, I had a friend that said, just because I'm on a diet doesn't mean I can't look at the menu. We have this idea, as long as I don't act out on my lustful thoughts, as long as, you know, I mean, rape is wrong. We know that. But if I think it, it's okay. And Jesus says the same thing. You know, you've committed adultery in your heart. See, there's no difference between what we think and what we do in terms of this idea of sin and what's right and what's wrong. And God knows all of it. And so we need to step up a little bit. We need to realize, you know, you're not hiding from God. And I don't say this because God's going to smite you. And we talked last week, God smitten Jesus because of our sin. You need to accept that. But when we do the right thing, when we obey God, it's going to be for our benefit. God wants us to thrive. He wants us to be healthy individuals. And I don't mean healthy like physically, but in terms of who we are. He wants to be the best we can be, and that comes from obeying God. But when we think, oh, well, I can get away with this because I actually didn't do it, I just thought it, you've messed up. Because God knows what we're thinking. He understands all of that. There's a, well, actually, here's a great verse in the end of Psalm 139. He says this, David says, you know, he says, God, I know you know everything about me. He says, then search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me. And know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Perhaps that's where you are today. You need to realize that God knows what's going on in your life. He knows your thoughts. And maybe you need to come to God with a prayer sort of like that, saying, God, look, you know me, and I just pray that you would just search me, know everything about me, see if there's anything in me. You know my heart. See if there's anything in me, any thought, anything that is offensive to you, so that I can follow you the right way. That's how David ended this psalm, this whole thing, saying, God, you know everything about me. He says, God, look, search me, test me, try me out, make sure that I'm doing the right thing. And that's where some of you need to be. You need to say, okay, God, you know this, and I need to step it up. I need to start following you. There's a show that maybe it's been around for years. I don't know. We just saw it the other night. It's called What Would You Do? And I have some issues with this show a little bit. But basically, the way it is they bring in actors and create a scenario and then have hidden cameras all around the room that basically the actors obviously know what's going on, but the rest of the people in the room don't know what's happening. And so they are basically filming them to see how are people are going to react. And one of the scenarios that they had, there was two actors in a coffee house, and they were selling SAT scores for like $1,500 or something like that. And they actually exchanged $1,500 in an envelope there. And there were people, obviously, within earshot, listening to this high school kid pay someone to take the SAT for them. And of course, the cameras are like, how are these people going to react? And for that scenario, I mean, I think most of the people eventually spoke up and said something. And then there was another one with a pawn shop, and they went into this pawn shop, and the actor was the clerk and the person selling a watch. And when the actor walked away, the selling person said to just a regular customer, hey, this is fake, don't tell him, you know, I only paid $10 for it. And so they have all these different, you know, how are these people going to respond? And that one, actually, most people failed to do the right thing. Now, frankly, if you were going into a pawn shop and saw some sort of scary guy saying, hey, I have a fake watch here, you want to rat me out? I'll be like, no, sir, sorry, have a good day. But all that to say, you know, whether the show does a good job setting up the scenarios or not, you know, it got me thinking, and that's the name of the show, what would you do? If you were in that situation, would you do the right thing? If you knew that there were cameras on you, would you act differently as if you didn't know there were cameras on you? And of course, there was one of the guys, they would, after someone in the show would do the right thing, they would say, aha, you know, you're on What Would You Do, haha. And then they interview them afterwards. And this one guy, I forget what the exact question was, but it was something like, you know, now that you know that you're on live TV, you know, national TV, do you think that you should really tell people when they're doing something wrong? And of course the guy's going to say, absolutely, if it's wrong, you know, and all of a sudden he got all bold and yes, this is the right thing. But when he was on the hidden camera, he was kind of like, you shouldn't do that, you know, very, very timid. And I guess our lives are on God's camera. God sees what we're doing. And so we need to pray this prayer and say, God, is there anything in me? Is there anything that I'm doing? Is there anything that I'm thinking that is wrong, that is offensive to you? Help me to go the right way, because it's going to be for our benefit, for our good. So it comes with God's knowledge comes with a comfort, a caution. Finally, God's knowledge and this whole passage comes with a companion. And that means that God is with you. God is with me. We celebrate Christmas every year, and we know that today in the city of David, a child will be born to you. I'm going completely blank. And you will give him the name Jesus. That's not the right one. Anyway, Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. Yeah, we know that. God with us, because God is with us. God is with us. And that's what was so cool about Jesus, is that not only was God always present, but God said, I'm coming to be with you and be a human being. And of course, that was why last week was such a huge deal, because God became flesh and died the punishment, died the death that we deserve. And so the fact that when we understand God's knowledge and everything that's going on, you're not alone. God understands what you're going through. There's a comfort there, but he's also with you. He is present with you. Scripture says over and over and over, do not fear. And almost every time, somewhere in the passage there, it says, for I am with you. That no matter what obstacle you come across, no matter how difficult your situation is, you've got a God that is present with you. You have Emmanuel, God with us. He is there. You're not alone. You don't need to fear your circumstance. You don't need to fear anything because God is present with you. He is there. He is here. So you're not alone. And that's the cool thing about, in my view, the cool thing about our relationship with Christ, that Christianity, is that if you look out there, most other religions and faiths, and I can go into all sorts of other reasons why this is the real deal, but I'm not going to get into that right now. But most other faiths out there, and their God is distant. He doesn't really get involved. And they kind of hope that they do enough good things, or that, you know, at the end of life, He decides to let you in. But we have, our faith is a God that is here. A God that is present with us. And so you're not alone in any situation. You have a God that knows what's going on. One of the things that I do with my children, I don't do it as much now, they're getting a little older, but I'm very, usually, keenly aware of what my kids are doing. If I'm in a room or if I'm in a place and they are out and about, I usually know what they're doing. I'm keeping an eye on them. Sometimes you'll notice if you're talking to me, suddenly I'll divert because I just want to know where my kids are. And one of the things that I'll do, especially like you go to a mall, which for my kids, I mean, we're homeschooled kids, you know, we live in Mifflin County. They're like, oh, a mall! Like, we got to Altoona, we went to the mall a couple of weeks ago, Logan Valley Mall, and there was an escalator. Man, that was the best thing ever, you know? They don't get out much. And they got to ride on the escalator, you know, and when we went to the mall, it had two levels in Altoona. There's like a whole nother level, and of course, Alethea, she's like, there's the balcony and the huge wall protecting her, and she's way over here, making sure she doesn't accidentally fall, you know, 20 feet over to the side of the wall, over the edge down below. But you know, there's so much going on there. I mean, it's a little bit more exciting than our living room. And one of the things that happens inevitably is as we're going as a family, and there's a lot of us, there's six of us total, that someone gets distracted by something. And what I do, and again, if this is bad parenting, I'm sorry. I'll talk more about this in the next series, and you can ignore me then, too. But one of the things that I like to do is I just watch my kids, but I don't necessarily intervene until the time is right. And what I mean by that is, you know, let's say Tommy is our three-year-old. He's looking at a window because, wow, look at that. You know, there's Toy Story stuff there. And he's staring at the window. Come on, Tommy, it's time to go. We're moving on. And when he doesn't obey, when he doesn't listen, we'll just kind of move on. Now, someone from the outside might be like, what is that family doing? I'm keeping an eye on him the whole time. I'm watching him. But one of the things that's so interesting is we move on. We'll even go into the next store, and I'll just kind of hang out in the window and just watch him. You know, I'm ready to pounce like a cat if somebody comes on and tries to take my boy. But I watch, and one of the things that happens, of course, is he's looking at the Toy Story window, and this is exciting, and oh, look at that. And then he looks around, and suddenly the family isn't there. And, of course, there's this sheer panic that hits his face. And I kind of, okay, what's he going to do? Usually he'll take a few steps, and then, you know, depending on how they're going to react, but then usually I'll step out and say, we're right here. And suddenly there's this, okay. Because for a moment there, he thought he was alone and that his daddy had left him. But all along, his daddy was watching him. And for Tommy to suddenly have that realization that he wasn't alone, that dad was watching, that dad was there with him, that changed everything for him. Because no matter what his circumstance, no matter what, he's in a huge mall, it's got escalators. He knew that there was someone there watching over him, someone to care for him, someone to protect him. And that's exactly the way it is for us and God. That we think, man, I don't know, I'm going through a hard time. I don't know how I'm going to get through this. God is there with you, and He is watching you. He's got His eye on you. He knows what's going on. You're not alone. Your situation is not something that He can't handle. And maybe God's not as cruel of a father as I am. Just watching and seeing that happen. And I don't always win. I can tell you a story about Alethea at Del Grosso's. but that's how God is. He knows everything about us. He knows our situation. He knows what we're going through. He knows our thoughts. We can't get away from Him, and we're not alone. that you might feel alone. And you know, there's that, you can be in a crowd and still feel alone. Water, water everywhere and not a drop to drink, you know. That whole concept of feeling completely lonely, but you're not alone. You've got a God that is there, a God that is present, a God that cares what you're going through. Jesus said his last words before leaving this earth. He says, go make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. God is with us. God knows our situation. God knows what you're going through. When you think there's no way, God says, no, no, I know. And I'm there with you. You don't need to be afraid. You don't need to be overwhelmed. You don't need to feel lost. Because God knows what we're going through. God is there. He is present with us. He has searched us. He knows us intimately. We can't even get away from him. We can try. I mean, maybe you do that in your prime groups this week. Okay, guys, let's hide from God. It's not possible. That is the God that we serve. A God that is all-knowing, all-present, that can help us through any situation that we come by. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for David and his taking time and guided by you, but taking the time to consider your knowledge, to consider the fact that you know everything. You know our thoughts. You know our actions. You know what we're going to do before we do it. You know what we're going to say before we say it. And God, there's nowhere we can go where you aren't. There's nowhere we can hide from you. There's nowhere where we can slip out of view. Because you are always present with us. And I pray for each person in this room, for each of us, God, that this knowledge, I don't know, there's probably two responses that we have here. One is that we need to change some things because we think we're hiding. We think we're getting away with stuff. And I pray, God, that you would help us to expose those thoughts, to expose those things that we think we're doing in secret, that you would search us, that you would test us, that you would see if there's anything in us that is offensive to you, to help us follow your way. And perhaps on the other side, God, when it comes to your knowledge, we feel alone. We feel like nobody knows what we're going through. But God, I thank you that we're not. That even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you're there. That you never let go of us. That you're always present with us. Not just for this moment while we're in a church, but you say to the very end of the age, to the end of the end, you are present with us. So may we take comfort from that, God. May we realize that there is nothing that we're going through that you can't handle. There's no situation where we're alone. That our Father, our Daddy is watching us. Our Daddy is there to care for us, to protect us, to help us through. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.